How are we preparing for our heavenly future and the future that actually matters? You see, that's one of the bottom lines for this whole parable. This is the call to stewardship. How are we doing with that which is by far most important, the eternal things that God has entrusted to us? How are we doing with planning and preparing for the future that awaits us in Jesus Christ and our ability to do something with it right now?
Hi friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. Live in the Light is a radio ministry, and if you'd like more information about Live in the Light, please visit us online at liveinthatlight, that's LIGHT.ca. Well, a radio ministry designed and dedicated to see radical transformation through the revelation of God's truth, today takes us to Luke 16. And with me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And Robbie, Luke 16 takes us where today?
Takes us to the story, Craig, of stewardship, the parable of the dishonest manager. And here's what we learn today from God's word is you cannot separate. Listen carefully to this. This is important. A lot of believers need to hear this. You cannot separate maturity in Christ from stewardship in Christ. You cannot separate growing in Jesus Christ and increasingly becoming a better steward of what God has entrusted to us. And so Jesus wants us to know that and to see it within our lives. Are you growing in Christ? One of the ways you answer that is that you are also growing in being a steward for the gospel and a steward in the resources that God has entrusted to us. So convict us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And teach us, Lord, your heart about our heart as it comes down to your resources for our lives.
All right. Well, in Luke 16, your Bibles may have it as the parable of the dishonest manager. Jesus is telling stories today, loved ones, and today is a story of stewardship. Let's go now to our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Just think about it. The manager has placed himself in a situation where he really cannot lose now. Because if the owner sees what's happening and he puts the loan back to where they were, his reputation is sunk among the people. Furthermore, because of what the steward did in this case, the rich man is now seen as generous, as kind, and as an incredibly gracious owner. R.T. Kendall shared a story that I wanted to share with you. He says, in the last century, Henry Ford went from Detroit, Michigan to Dublin, Ireland to trace his ancestry. It was a fact-finding mission. And a person who was a fundraiser for an old people's home went to Henry Ford while he was there and asked if he would contribute $1,000 to the old people's home. Henry Ford wrote out a check for $1,000, which was, of course, a lot of money at that time. And in the newspaper the next day, an article appeared saying that the great Henry Ford of America had contributed $50,000 to an old people's home. Now, the following day, the very shrewd fundraiser went to Henry Ford and said, look, you can either give me another $49,000 or I will go to the newspaper and say, oh, wait, there's a mistake. He only gave $1,000. So Henry Ford gave the other $49,000, but he did one on one condition. He said that a scripture model be placed over the door of the old people home. They agreed, and the model read, I was a stranger and you took me in. Now this story rings truth again of our story right here. Again, the point of our parable is not to commend the dishonesty of the manager. It's to commend his shrewdness. And really what this becomes is a stewardship of wisdom. And of course, loved ones, we are commanded to do the same. And this is where, for me, the parable really comes together. And from here and for the remainder of our message, I want to unpack for you three principles of stewardship that will change our lives. Three principles of stewardship. Principle number one is this, from this parable, is this: I must make the most of my opportunity. I must make the most of the opportunity that God has given to me. And this, in essence, in this first principle, is biblical stewardship. It's realizing what you've been given by God and then make the most of it. And look at verses 8 and 9 now. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, and he says, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, Jesus says, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. So these are very interesting verses, are they not? And let me help you with some clarity. In verse 8, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, worldly people are more clever or more shrewd in dealing with worldly matters than God's children are in dealing with matters of eternity or matters of salvation. What Jesus is really saying here, and what we need to say right now, if only the church pursued the treasure of God's kingdom the way the world pursues treasures on earth, if only believers took as seriously the call of the Great Commission the way unbelievers take on the Great Deception. Think of the wisdom of business men and women in our day. Think of the effort they put in. Think of the strategy they go for. Think of the selling out of themselves in all to attain a greater level of success, either in business or their private financial life, and the power that they seek to hold, which all results in nothing the moment their life is done. Think of how shrewd they are in planning and preparing for their earthly future. This is the point Jesus is making. But the question is, what are the sons of light doing? How are we preparing for our heavenly future and the future that actually matters? You see, that's one of the bottom lines for this whole parable. This is the call to stewardship. How are we doing with that which is by far most important, the eternal things that God has entrusted to us? How are we doing with planning and preparing for the future that awaits us in Jesus Christ and our ability to do something with it right now? And then verse 9. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwelling. What does that mean? Jesus now specifically turns to unrighteous wealth. What is unrighteous wealth? Unrighteous wealth is money and how we steward it. Money is unrighteous wealth when it's compared to true riches in verse 11. And verse 11 will make that very clear. One is earthly money, one is heavenly true riches. I believe that Jesus here refers to our understanding of money as unrighteous wealth too, because money so often sees itself in the form of evil and results in so many people loving it, worshiping it, and then moving forward in evil, in the destruction of themselves and the world. It's so often what money does. It ruins people's lives. But pay attention here. Here's the opportunity. Our stewardship, this is amazing, what Jesus is saying here in verse 9. Our stewardship of earthly money can actually contribute to heavenly parties. It says in verse 9, making friends. Making friends using unrighteous wealth means this. We have the ability right now with God's resources to take his money and use it for the gospel for eternal purposes. That's what he's saying there. We have the ability through what he's entrusted to us to take the funds that are his, to use it for the gospel, to be as generous as possible. Because the reality is, as we support the gospel with money, then lives are changed. And what the text is telling us, I believe this is what it's saying, in some form or another, as we place our stewardship for the gospel, we will enter into heaven one day and there'll literally be people who are there awaiting for our revival and saying, I can't believe it. The things that you use for the gospel were used to save my life, and they will greet us and we will make our friends in heaven and see this amazing celebration and party going on because of what we use for the gospel save their lives. We all join together, and how great a day that will be. This is what this is saying within the text, that our call as stewards is to use unrighteous wealth, money, to make friends in the gospel that we might be received in eternal dwellings. You're reading the same Bible I'm reading. And this is the amazing truth of what's happening, the power and the opportunity of gospel giving, specifically here, loved ones, financially. When we contribute to the gospel, we are contributing to eternal dwellings. That is so exciting. So here's the point. Here's the point. Ready? Give. Here's the point of Jesus. Give. Be a good steward of the gospel. Here's the point. Ready? Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. If we fail, I mean, this is, again, one of the bottom lines for this text. It's so clear. If we fail to steward God's money, not yours, not mine, God's money in our lives, we're wasting our lives. Is that clear? It's so clear. We are wasting possessions. The foolishness of the steward in verses 1 and 2. What Jesus says to you and I today, he's like, hey, listen, don't waste your life. Steward what I have entrusted to you. I love the story that John Piper tells in his book, Don't Waste Your Life. It's on the back cover. And he tells the story of so many, these retired people in the 50s or 60s, whatever, and they save their whole life to get this place. They go down south, they're on a beach, they have a big boat, and they spend their days collecting seashells. And that's their idea of retirement for the next 20, 30 years of their lives. And he tells the story, they will have to stand before the Lord and they will have to say, look, Lord, my shells. Now think about that. Think about that. That impacts all of us when we hear that. And when you read that in that book, you're like, that's so true. How many people, all the commercials set up for this, all the messages, save for what? Save for what? For more of me? No thanks. Last time I checked, I'm not too much into this. For more of him. It's not wrong to save, but it's wrong to have your whole life oriented on you, this little kingdom that you're gonna live out, and then you'll have to die and give an account. Don't waste your life. And God's saying right here, use resources for the gospel. Literally, when you walk into heaven, there'll be a party throwing for the glory of God, but you get to rejoice in because of the way that you have stewarded what God has entrusted you with. Make the most of your opportunity. Loved ones, we must. This is wisdom. This is what it means to steward God has given to us. Make the most of our opportunity. Here's a second principle. This is a huge one as well. I must faithfully steward earthly riches in order to be entrusted with true riches. Wow, really? Really? Let me say that again. I must faithfully steward earthly riches to be entrusted with true or heavenly riches. You're like, where's that coming from? Verse 10 says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Here's his point, verse 11. If you then have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, money, who will entrust you with the true riches, the blessings of heaven? Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, God's, who will give you that which is your own, your blessing in the presence of the Lord as well? This is very, very important truth. What we learn here is this, loved ones. This text is amazing. We cannot separate the material from the spiritual. We cannot separate the material from the spiritual. We cannot separate them in this sense. How you deal with one indicates how you will deal with the other. That's why where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, so listen to what Jesus is saying. I've never preached this passage before. It hit me in new ways all week long. It's hitting me in new ways even now. It's mind-blowing. It's awesome. I love how clear he is. What Jesus is saying to us, the way you handle my money will be the way that you handle my kingdom. The way you treat the resources of this earth will indicate the way you treat the resources of the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not faithful with the one, loved ones, you won't be faithful with the other. And if you're not faithful with the one, Jesus says, you won't be entrusted with the other. That's amazing. That's convicting, but that's amazing. How we handle God's money in some form and in some way will determine blessing upon our lives and the things that we so long to see. How, I don't know exactly, but there's some connection here for sure. Verse 10, the context seems to mean the little is money, the much is spiritual riches. Then verse 11 is explained being so, unrighteous wealth with true riches. Then verse 12 seems to explain, again, if we can't be trusted with that which is another's God's, then how can we be given our own blessing and spiritual riches? Again, the undeniable connection Again, which amazes me because it's true. If we are unfaithful with God's money, then we can't be trusted with God's kingdom. In some form, in some way, that is true. And again, you're reading the same Bible I am, and that's what it's saying. Think of the implications of this truth. Think of the implications of the truth. If I'm unfaithful with God's money, can I be trusted with God's kingdom? Could it be right now that our lack of spiritual breakthrough is related to our lack of financial stewardship before the Lord? Could it be? You've been longing for a spiritual breakthrough for years. It's never come. Could it be because you've never fully allowed your wallet to be converted to Jesus Christ? That's what the text is saying on some level. Could it be that the lack of spiritual passion in your life, men, in your home, women, is related to the greed in your home? Could it be that your lack of spiritual passion for the things of the Lord, a hunger for Him, it's somehow related to the greed that exists within your home, where really, if it came down to it, you want the stuff more than you want Christ? Of course, it's going to kill our passion for Jesus Christ. And could it be then that because our heart's not really for Christ, our heart's after money, then God's not entrusting us with a hunger and passion for Him because we, in the end, don't really say we want it? Could it be that my lack of spiritual leadership and the lack of the opportunity that I think I should have is related to my hypocrisy within my giving? Could it be that my lack, some people want to be leaders for the Lord, but if you don't get the money thing down, you're not going to be used. You can't be, because it's too much a matter of the heart. And when I think through this stuff, man, I just say, wow, wow, wow. You don't think financial stewardship is a big deal to God? Think again. It is a massive deal to God. Now, let's be very, very careful right here, okay? This is not about, okay, I got to give so I earn God's favor. That's not what we're talking about at all. Oh, if I give more, God will like me more. No. What this is, it's an issue of the heart. Am I quenching God's spirit in my life? Because fundamentally, money is an idol. Fundamentally, I love the stuff of the earth. I love the car more. I love the home more. I love my clothes more. I love the vacation more than I love the word of God, the Son of God, and the passion of God. See, so it's not, hey, God, I'm going to give you more, so now you owe me. No. It's I give more because my heart loves you. It's a response to the gospel. You hear that? This isn't religion. This isn't, I do this, God, you give me this. This is because I know I've been saved in Jesus Christ, because the gospel is everything to me, because I know people are dying all over this world every single day and going to hell apart from Christ, because I've been given everything in Him, now I open my hands and give back to the one who owns it all anyways, because I love Him so much. See the difference? It's not earning favor, it's responding in love to the love that I've received in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always an issue of the heart. A lack of financial giving and stewardship, it's always an issue of the heart. Because we're showing ourselves that we want this on earth more than we want Him in heaven. But be clear here, more than financial stewardship, within this text, it's treasure, yes, but how am I stewarding my time? How am I stewarding my talent, my giftedness before the Lord? How am I stewarding this opportunity I have? How am I stewarding the influence that God has entrusted me with? Again, not earning favor with God, a response to the gospel. An incredible part of the gospel is what the Lord has entrusted to us. As we see the gospel, we understand God has entrusted us with His wealth. God has entrusted us with His time. Steward it. God has entrusted us with His gospel. Huge part of this parable. We must steward the gospel. What are we doing with the gospel? And remember, being a steward means that we will have to give an account of what's been entrusted to us. Now, if you're like me, you'd be at this point of this message and there's conviction all over the room right now, which is good. But you're like, hey man, like, what do I do, Robbie? Yeah. I get the truth, but like, what are practical things I can begin to do to start taking steps of true stewardship of wisdom within my life? And that's where I'm glad you asked that question, because I have five things I want you to see of ways that you can leave this place right now tonight, and you can sit down before the Lord and begin to ask yourself sincerely, God, how am I doing in stewardship of what you've entrusted to me? Here's the first thing I want you to see here. Ask the Lord to reveal your heart. That's the first step. You gotta sit before the Lord, you and him, maybe you and your spouse, you and a really close friend for accountability. If you wanna do that, that's fantastic. But ask the Lord to reveal your heart. Take this passage, take verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and just let them kind of bathe your soul in it and just ask the Lord, Lord, where am I? How am I really doing in this? Search my heart, God, and know me, David says. And ask him, say, Lord, how am I stewarding my time, treasure, talent? Am I foolish? I mean, some of you have the answer already. Where are the areas of wisdom? How can I ask the Lord to reveal your heart? Secondly, do this. Assess your stewardship specifically in terms of time, in terms of talent, in terms of treasure. Go through. Where is my money going? It's always an excellent indication of your heart is your time and your treasure. And you always say, you give me your bank statements and give me your calendar and I'll know a lot about you right away. And you would know a lot about me as well. How we spend our time and how we spend our thoughts and how we spend God's money. It says a lot really about what we care about. Assess your stewardship and saying, how am I, wasting my time? Like, what am I really spending time on? Am I wasting it? How am I spending your money, God? Am I wasting? Am I just going spending stuff for now? Do you pray about what you spend? Have you considered this? Have you sat down? Have you actually asked the Lord what he would want to do with that? How are my giftedness being used? Am I serving the Lord? Again, if you get to the end of this life and you stand before Jesus Christ and you're like, well, Lord, I know you gave me a spiritual gift because every believer has a spiritual gift, at least one. Most of us have more than one. And you're like, well, I just didn't really feel like it. Are you going to say that? Are you going to say it like that to him? Oh, I just didn't feel like it. No offense, God, but you know, I know you gave me this, but I was just too busy. I want to do my own thing. I had too many soccer games with the kids. Hockey took over, man. I had to go see too many movies. I was just vacation. I didn't have any time yet. Really? Really? That's going to happen. Remember? 1 Corinthians 3. It's going to happen. I have to give an account. Don't waste your stewardship. You know, sometimes too, I thought about this week. We waste so much time on such dumb things. We waste so much emotion on fighting with each other, being envious of one another, in competition with each other, of rivalries with each other, of being bitter at one another, of not forgiving each other. We think of all this emotional energy that we spend wasting our time and emotions. That's poor stewardship. That's such poor stewardship. Don't waste your time being jealous of people. Spend your time loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Assess your stewardship. Here's the next thing. Admit your sin. So that's massive, because if you ask and you assess, then you see, I had to do that this week. I'm doing that right now. Seeing sin in my life and saying, man, that's a waste of time. Admit your sin, because we learn about repentance. It ushers in love and brokenness. Here's the fourth thing. Do this. Agree to his will. So ask, assess, admit, and now agree that God's will. Don't argue. Well, you can, but I don't. Don't argue with the passage tonight. Say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Agree, your will is right. Agree, you will have to give an account. Agree, in a second, you can't serve both God and money. Agree to his will, and your truth is right. And then lastly, this, anticipate blessing. Loved ones, if you do these things, if you sit down before the Lord and you write stuff out, journal, write it out, share it again with someone, anticipate blessing is coming. It is absolutely coming. That's what God promises. He promises true riches will come into the life of those who trust him in this way. Again, here's the principle that we're learning. I must faithfully steward earthly riches to be entrusted with true riches. And then here's the principle that settles it all. Here's our third and final principle. It's this. I cannot serve God in money. Here's a principle of stewardship. I mean, write it down, note on your heart, make sure you see it in God's word. I cannot serve God and money. Verse 13, if Jesus hasn't been clear enough, look what he says. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Here he goes. You cannot serve God and money. Notice how conclusive Jesus' statement is. No servant can serve two masters. You say, no, I can, man. I'm doing it right now. No, you're not. You're deceived. This is where really you can't have one foot in the world and one foot for Jesus Christ. The reality is if you're in the world, it's all in for the world, man. And you got some stuff going on for Jesus' lip service, but the heart in reality, you cannot serve both God and money. No one can serve two masters. It's right in the text. No one can serve both God and money. You're like, well, I think I'm pretty good at it. No, again, you've deceived yourself. It's one or the other. Warren Wiersbe says this, if God is our master, then money becomes our servant. And if money is our servant, our resources are directed as God indicates. But if God is not our master, then we become servants of money, and the love of money is a horrible master. So this is when instead of stewarding our lives, we end up wasting our lives. Loved ones, let's not waste our lives. If we want to be faithful stewards of the Lord, we have to decide right now, what's it going to be? Because Jesus says you cannot serve God and money. Okay, make sure we see that and hear that. We cannot serve God and money. So what's it going to be? I mean, really, what's it going to be? Is it going to be Jesus or jewelry? Is it going to be the Messiah or money? Is it going to be Christ or cash? Because we can't serve both. The question really is, how much is the gospel worth to us? Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus says, go, I'll sell your possessions. Why? Why? Because he knew where his heart wasn't. It wasn't for him fully. And the rich young ruler went away sad because at the end of the day, he chose his wealth over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus really asks us today, he says, what's it going to be? Verse 13, one more time, the authority of God's word over our hearts today. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, okay? Now, again, there's a lot of conviction in the room, but let's take a moment to apply the gospel right now. What is the gospel? Jesus died for your sins. You like me? You have sins you need to confess as a result of this text. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven when you truly repent of these sins. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead that you and I might have new life. Jesus lives that we might now live for him. The gospel says, because of this truth, now I take all my eggs and put it in the basket of Jesus Christ. The gospel says this as well, loved ones, no matter what you've done yesterday or last week or last month or the whole previous part of your life, today can be a new day. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel right now, you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. He loves you. That's why he brings messages like this to your life, because now he wants your heart again. And in love, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. So the gospel says, today's a new day. I'm forgiven in Jesus Christ. He loves me so much. He calls me to himself again. I will not suffer in guilt right now. No. Get away, Satan. I'm not suffering guilt, but I do embrace the conviction. And I say, Lord, turn this conviction into a resolve now to live for you wholeheartedly, because I don't want to serve money. I want to serve God, and I want to love Jesus Christ. Do you see how important this is? Can you see why Jesus keeps saying these things to us? Because really, when it comes down to it, where your treasure is, that's where you'll find your heart.
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.